Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Multimedia Department of Markazi Anjuman Khuddamul Quran, Lahore, Pakistan presents a speech of Dr. Israr Ahmed, the founder of Markazi Anjuman Khuddamul Quran, Lahore and Tanzeem Islami, on the topic of Shirk. Now please listen to the speech.
Alhamdulillah وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة لقمان أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة النساء إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما وقال جل وعلا كما ورد في نفس السورة إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا وقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة الحج وإذ بوأنا لإبراهيم مكان البيت ألا تشرك بي شيئا إلى قوله تعالى ومن يشرك بالله فكأنما خر من السماء فتخطفه الطير او تهوي به الريح في مكان سحيق وقال جل وعلا كما ورد في سورة الزمر ولقد اوحي اليك والى الذين من قبلك لئن اشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as I told you after the last session regarding our discussion about Iman, that some of the points connected with the last topic, that is, how to get real Iman and where can we get it from, some of the points I couldn't complete yesterday. But today I'm not going to take any time for that. I will try, inshallah, in my subsequent topics to include those points also. But now I want to proceed straight off with the next subject, and that is, what is shirk? That is, what is meant by associating someone or something with Allah? Or ascribing any partner to Allah? Or making or accepting anyone or anything equal to Allah? Whether in his person, or in his attributes, or his position, or his status, or his authority, or his rights. This is actually, in brief, the definition of shirk. So what does it mean? And what are the ramifications, you know, of this shirk? What are the branches? What are the different forms? But before I proceed to that, let me first of all translate and briefly explain the ayat which I have recited in the beginning. First of all, it was ayah number 13 of Surah Luqman. This says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِزُهُ. And remember the time when Luqman said to his son, and he was admonishing him or exhorting him or advising him, يَا بُنَيَّ, O my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, don't associate anyone with Allah. Don't ascribe any partners unto Allah. Don't make anything or anyone equal to Allah. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Verily, this shirk is the most tremendous and awesome and greatest sin or iniquity or injustice. This is the biggest wrong that can be done. So what is shirk? The tremendous and awesome and biggest injustice and wrong, according to this ayah of the Quran. Then I recited two ayat from Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 48 and ayah number 116. And the major portion of both the ayat is the same. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. And in the second ayah, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. But the first part is the same, and that is the most important. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah will never forgive that shirk may be made with him, be done with him, committed with him. Anything or anybody may be made equal to him. Or he may, you know, be treated as equal, as partner with someone. This is the greatest sin, unpardonable. Short of that, any sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive to whom he may like. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And now the ayah 48 ends, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, whosoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا, so he had committed the biggest sin. And ayah number 116 ends, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Whosoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has gone astray, very far off from the right path. Now let us come to the ayat of Surah Al-Hajj. Here the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being mentioned. وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. And when we told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that this is the place where you should build the house for me, Allah tushrik bi shaya. The first commandment given to him was, never associate anybody, anything with me. Never commit any form of shirk with me. And after some ayat, you know, you find the words, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَقْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ وَتَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. Whosoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if he has fallen from the heaven and now he is at the mercy of the birds of prey. They might tear him off, or the wind, it might take him to any, you know, ditch in which he falls and is torn into pieces. This is the simile used here to what end this shirk can lead a man, a woman, a human being. And let me mention here also, you know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he has three places among the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are very peculiar to him. اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah adopted him as his friend, Khalil. إِنِّي جَعَلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I am going to make you imam for the whole of humanity. As you know, he is Abu al-Anbiya. How many prophets and messengers of Allah? They were from his progeny. Either, you know, the line which started from Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Yaqub, and so many prophets of the line of Bani Israel, they are all sons of Ibrahim. And the last of all, who was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, son of Ibrahim again. The second line, which was there from Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But you know, the greatest certificate that is given to Ibrahim in the Quran, the greatest testimonial which is given to him in Quran 6 times is, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not from among the mushriks. So it is the biggest testimonial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person, to a man, to a human being. Now, let me come to the last ayah, and that is, from the last section of Surah Az-Zumar. وَلَقَدْ وُحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing here Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been revealed to you before, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and it was revealed to all the prophets who came before you. لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ, even if you commit shirk, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ, all of your deeds that you have earned up till now will go in vain, will go away, vanish, will be multiplied by zero. لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ, even you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you commit shirk, all of your deeds will go in vain, will be, you know, reduced to a zero. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and you will also become one of those who are in loss. So this is, you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is, you know, the big crime, the unpardonable sin. This is shirk. Now let me explain it in another form. We have seen before, you know, in six lectures, six sessions, our deen is deenut tawheed. Islam is deenut tawheed. If you want to express Islam in one word, what is it? It is deenut tawheed. And I told you, the basic iman, or you may say comprehensive iman, is iman billah or tawheed. We know that in iman mujmal, only iman billah is mentioned. Aamantu billahi kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami ahkamihi iqra'un bil lisani wa tasdiqun bil qalb. Now shirk is the opposite of tawheed. And you know there is a saying, a proverb in Arabic, turafu al-ashya'u bi azdadiha. Things can be more understood in the context of the antonyms, the opposites. You can appreciate what is day if you have seen night. If you have never seen night, you can't understand what you mean by day. You know it by contrast, simultaneous contrast, makes things clear. Turafu al-ashya'u bi azdadiha. So if you want to understand what is tawheed, you must understand what is shirk. And if you want to understand what is shirk, you must understand what is tawheed. So they are actually antonyms to each other. And let me make a statement. Although it might appear to be, in the very beginning, very categorical, but I prove that this is correct. The statement is, all good, whether it concerns thought or deed, any good, whether in action, in deed, or in thought, is a corollary of tawheed. Every evil, whether in action, deed, or of thought, or of aqidah, it is necessarily a corollary of shirk. That is my categorical statement. Just like, you know, a tree has a root, then a trunk, then branches and leaves. Every leaf of the tree is connected with the root. So actually, the root of deen is tawheed. So whatever is there in this tree, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the fruit, the flowers, they are all actually connected with this root. And the opposite is also correct. All evil, whether in thought or in action, indeed, actually they are the branches, they are the corollaries of shirk. Now, the forms of shirk, the branches of shirk, the shades of shirk, are very numerous, so many. And it becomes very difficult at times to recognize the shirk. It takes different garbs, different dresses, different forms. And that is why, let me quote a couple from Allama Iqbal here. Barahimi nazar paida magar mushkil se hoti hai. To recognize shirk. And here Allama Iqbal says, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he had that understanding, you know, that capacity of recognizing shirk wherever it was, in whichever form it was. براہیمی نظر پیدا مگر مشکل سے ہوتی ہے، حافظ چھپ چھپ کے سینوں میں بنا لیتی ہے تصویریں۔ یو ہیو آئیڈلز ود ان یور ہارٹ، یو آر ناٹ ورشپنگ دی آئیڈلز، دی اسنام بفور یو دیر از نتھنگ، بٹ یو ہیو دی آئیڈلز ان یور ہارٹ، ان یور چیسٹ، اینڈ دس ول ان شاء اللہ بیکم ایبسولوٹلی کلیئر ٹوڈے۔ سو دیر از اے نیڈ that we should have the capability and the capacity and the ability to recognize and understand all forms of shirk and recognize shirk in whatever garb and cover it appears. There is a Persian couplet, bahar range ke khahi jaman ni posh man andaze qadat dami shanasan, you may take on any dress of any color but I will recognize you from your what should be the stature. I will recognize you. So actually we should have the ability, capability and ability to recognize shirk, whichever form it might take. It keeps on changing colors. It keeps on taking different forms from time to time. Maybe you understand the shirk of 1,000 years before, but you cannot understand the shirk of today. This disease has appeared in another form, in absolutely new garb today. So you have to acquire the ability to recognize shirk in whatever garb, in whatever form, in whatever color it appears. Now to understand, you know, different types of shirk, let us see how we can divide different kinds of shirk, different categories of shirk. So the ulama, mostly they divide shirk as a shirk fil aqidah and a shirk fil amal. Fil aqidah, you are professing and you yourself say that you believe in something, which is shirk. Someone says, well, Jesus is son of God, and he is professing it, he is saying it himself, so he is committing shirk. It is fil aqidah. But there might be a shirk which is only in action. If you analyze the deed and action and the behavior of a person, you find there is shirk in it. Maybe that person who is committing that action or deed, he himself doesn't know that I am committing shirk. It's a shirk fil amal. You have to analyze what are the motives, what's the thought behind this deed or action. So there can be shirk fil amal, and there can be shirk fil aqidah. Then another, you know, classification is, there is apparent and evident shirk, absolutely apparent and evident. This we call ash-shirkul jali, clear, absolutely apparent, absolutely evident. Then there is hidden shirk, implied shirk, and imperceptible shirk. This is ash-shirkul khafi. For example, I will give the details later on, but let me quote here a hadith. Man salla yurai faqad ashraka, wa man sama yurai faqad ashraka, wa man tasaddaqa yurai faqad ashraka. Whosoever is praying but he wants to show off to the others that he is a very muttaqi person, a very pious person, he has already committed shirk. He is praying. Whosoever keeps sawm, he is fasting, but he wants to show to the people that he is a very pious person. He keeps 3 fasts every month. If he wants that exhibition, faqad ashraka, he has committed shirk. Even to the extent that if you are praying, and when you are going in prostration, usually your sajda, one prostration, for example, if it comprises 5 seconds, 10 seconds, but when you feel that someone is looking at you, now you increase the duration of your sajda. Now you are there for 10 seconds. You have committed shirk. You are doing this prostration partly for Allah. The original 5 seconds were for Allah, and the additional 5 seconds are for the person to whom you are showing. So actually, for this sajda, there are two masjood. You have committed shirk, you have committed shirk. So shirk, al-shirkul jali, al-shirkul khafi, the hidden shirk, imperceptible shirk. And the shirk which is evident, absolutely apparent and clear. But as far as I think, for a better understanding of all the shades of shirk and kinds of shirk, the better classification would be, there are three types of shirk. We shall discuss according to this classification. The shirk fi zaat, associating someone in the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Personal association. In his own person, in his zaat. Making someone equal to him as a person. This is the biggest shirk, the ugliest shirk, the most wicked shirk. Then number two, shirk fi sifat. Ascribing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to someone else. In quality or quantity. The attributes which are exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you are ascribing that attribute to someone else or something else. Or if the attribute is common between Allah and the creations, the creatures. But when you use that adjective or attribute for Allah, it means something else. And when you are using the same word for men or other, you know, creatures, it means something else. If you confuse, if you make both things equal, this is ash-shirk fi sifat. Making shirk in the attributes of Allah. Then lastly, there is the shirk to associate someone in the status of Allah, in the authority of Allah, in the, you know, rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his position, to make somebody equal to him in rights, in authority. That is shirk fil huquq, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are exclusive to him. And you have made someone partner unto him in those rights, in any one of those rights, it becomes shirk. So a shirk fi dhat, associating someone in the person of Allah. Shirk fi sifat, ascribing the attributes of Allah to someone else or to something else, whether quantitatively or qualitatively. And the third, ash-shirk fil huquq, you know, making partner of Allah in his authority, in his rights. Now, with these preliminary points, let us now come to the first, and that is ash-shirk fil zaat. As I said, this is the most heinous, most naked, ugliest shirk. And that is why we find in the Quran the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appears in the most severe form regarding this shirk fi zaat. Because if you make someone partner to Allah in his person, he becomes absolutely equal. Now what are the two forms which this shirk fi zaat has taken throughout history? There are two forms. One, and the more ugly, and the more naked, and the more heinous form of this shirk fi zaat is the irony of fate, that it appeared in the ummahs of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who believed in the prophets, people to whom messengers of Allah came, who claim that we believe in these prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who should have been absolutely free from shirk is the irony of fate that the most heinous form of shirk was committed by them. What is that? To say Allah has adopted a son there has been any son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or daughter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A son or a daughter of anybody, any person, is absolutely equal to him. The progeny of a horse is a horse. The progeny of man is a man. It becomes absolutely equal. It is a kufr, absolutely equal. You know, the status is the same. This is the worst form of shirk. And you know, I need not tell you, you know, the worst form appeared in whom? People who claim that they believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they believe Jesus is the Son of Allah, Son of God. And in the same way, although not as a whole, but at certain time and certain sects of the Jews also believed Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam to be Son of Allah. قَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ عِبْدُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى مَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ. And thirdly, you know, the Persian Arabs, especially the Quraysh of Makkah, they claimed they were the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And they claimed that they were following Ibrahim. But they had the aqidah, the false aqidah, that angels are daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why, you know, all the idols of the Arabs, they are feminine. They are goddesses. Uzza, Lat, Manat, these are all feminine names. They said they are daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I have given you three examples. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, people who believed in him claimed to be following Ibrahim, and they committed this heinous, this ugliest crime, that they said that the angels, the malaika, they are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Jews who claimed that they are Unitarians, they are the Mawhideen. But among them also, there were people who said that Uzair ibn Allah, Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, is Son of Allah. But you know, the most ugliest form, it appeared in the Christians. This became an integral part of their dogma. Jesus Christ is Son of God. This is the essential part, the very basis of their dogma. That is why I can't give you many examples, you know, because I know the time is very much limited. I have in Urdu 6 tapes on this subject of 1 hour each. But today I have to finish the whole subject in 2 hours. So I have to be very brief. But those of you who know Urdu, can understand Urdu, they can get those 6 tapes so that they can find more details. Here I can only give you an overview, a brief account. You know, you can put in more details yourself, inshallah. Let me quote here 4 verses, 4 ayat from the last portion, last section of Surah Maryam. And you just appreciate, try to understand the wrath of Allah, the ghadab of Allah, the anger of Allah, which appears in the Quran regarding this form of shirk. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا. And they say that Rahman has adopted a son. لَقَدْ جَيْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You have brought and you have concocted a very absurd idea, a very ugly idea. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخْرُجُ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعَوْا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. This is such a big crime in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a big insult to the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the skies and heavens, they are maybe, they split and crack, and the earth also splits on it, and the mountains may fall and crumble down. أَنْدَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدَا, that these people are calling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some son or daughter. Walad, you know, goes both ways. So, وَمَا يَبَّغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدَا, it doesn't behove Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should have so any son or daughter. Why? Please understand this point. Only those things or beings need daughters or sons. We know we shall die. We want that we shall not remain, but our name should continue. And our name will continue through our sons. Because actually it's a continuation of the personality. It's a continuation of my own personality. My sons, then sons of my sons, is actually a continuation of my own self. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to die. There's not going to be any end for him. He doesn't need any son or daughter. وَمَا يَبَّغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا, and above all these things. That is why it is an insult to him. And then, as I told you, son is just equal to the father. He is the same as father. Son of a donkey is a donkey. Son of a horse is a horse. Son of a man is a man. So this is the biggest form of making anybody equal to the person to whom you are saying that he is the son of him. So this is the worst form of shirk. And you know what's the position of Surah Al-Ikhlas in the Quran? Rub' al-Quran, Sulus al-Quran. The Prophet said it's equal to one third of Quran. Why? Because the most comprehensive surah repudiating this sort of shirk. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Because the son is kufu. Let me make it more simple. Son of a Sayyid is a Sayyid. Son of a Mughal is a Mughal. Son of a Rajput is a Rajput. So that way you make him absolutely equal. This is what we call kufu. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, there is no kufu for him. There is nobody equal to him. He begot not, nor he was begotten. He didn't have any parents, nor he had any children, or sons or daughters, or any progeny. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is the last ayah of Surah Bani Israel. It's as comprehensive as the Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. In one ayah, five types of shirk have been denied and repudiated. But you know, in the very beginning is, لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا, he didn't take anybody as his son or daughter. So this is actually the form of shirk, which is the most naked, most heinous, and the ugliest shirk according to the Quran. And I told you this is the irony of fate, that those people who believe in revealed religions, who believed in revealed books, they have committed this crime, this type of shirk. Now the other form of the shirk is that it appears in those religions which have a philosophical beginning. Those who have studied the subject of comparative religion, they know there are two types of religion. Revealed religions and philosophical religions. Because I told you in the early discussion on Iman, that actually the problems and questions in philosophy and in Iman, they are common. The metaphysical questions, what is this universe? Where from has it come? Is it forever? Was it there forever, always present? Who are we? What is evil? What is good? What's knowledge? What are the sources of knowledge? What's our life? What is the psychology of man? So all these questions, they are basically common to religion and philosophy. And I told you that the answers to these questions were given through two sources. Philosophers, sages, thinkers, they thought about these questions. Maybe Socrates, maybe Confucius, maybe Mahavir, maybe Shankaracharya, maybe Ramanuja. All these people, they were philosophers. Plato, they have grappled with these questions, given answers to these questions. And we know them as philosophies. This is the philosophy of Socrates, this is the philosophy of Plato, this is idealism, this is realism, and so on. And the other source of the answers came from the prophets. And they claimed that they had a special source of knowledge which came to them. That is why. They know these things through that source of knowledge. So the questions are common. But the mode of answering is different. So there have been religions in the world who are basically philosophical religions. Most of the Hindu religions, I am not saying religion. Hinduism is not a one religion. There are so many religions in Hinduism. Hinduism actually is a culture. In Hinduism you have shared of opinion who have, you know, topmost tawheed. Then there are the worst mushrikeen. Then there are the atheists. Don't believe in any god whatsoever. And they are all Hindus. So actually, most of the religions of Chinese origin and Indian origin, they are actually philosophical. Now this shirk fi zat in the philosophical religion has taken two forms. Number one, the pantheism. All this universe is itself God. I want to explain it today. Pantheism, pan, this denotes everything. Pantheism, everything is divine. Why, you know? Because there was a question. If we believe in a creator, how did he create this world? One opinion was that just as a carpenter can make a table or a chair, that he needs wood first. The wood should be there. Out of the wood, he can make a table. So matter was also present, and God was also present. They are both Qadim. God created this world out of matter. So this is actually, you have to accept that two things are Qadeem. They exist forever. But there were people who didn't accept this dualism. They wanted to be monotheists. Their logic, their intellect, they required some monotheism. But how to visualize? One of the explanations was that God Himself took the form of this universe. The example is, when the ice melts, it becomes water. Now if you ask, where is the ice? It's nowhere. This water is ice. And if you boil this water, it becomes steam. Now if you want to know, where is, has that water gone? Then the steam is water. This steam is ice. This steam is water. Because the ice took the form of water, and the water took the form of steam. In the same way, they said, everything that exists is actually divine. The Creator has Himself taken this form. Everything actually is part of Godhead. Nothing is outside it. This is pantheism. And this is the worst form of shirk. God Himself has taken the form of this universe. But that was in search of unity. If the devil is due, the search was for something very good. But they were led astray. And please don't confuse it with Wahdatul Wujud. That's something else. Pantheism is hamaust. Pantheism is kufr. Shirk of the worst order. It is the shirk to Zat. Wahdatul Wujud is something else. The unity of existence is something else. That I will inshallah explain when I talk about the shirk to Sifat. But now there's another form of shirk fi zat which appeared in these philosophical religions. And that is the principle of incarnation. God takes on the form of human beings. He manifests Himself in the form of human beings. Krishna, He was incarnation, God incarnate. And according to some of the Christians, they also believe, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ Allah is Masih. Actually, Allah has taken the form. Allah has appeared as Masih. In Arabic, we call it Hulul. So actually, this is the principle of incarnation. God incarnate. God appearing in the form of human beings. This is another very bad, very naked, very ugly form of shirk fi zat. And this has appeared in some of the philosophical religions and also some of the revealed religions also. Not in the religions, the followers of some revealed religions. They claim to be following the revealed religions. They claim that, you know, Bible is revealed. And we know that Jesus, Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam, are the messenger of Allah. But people who claim that they are followers of Jesus, they believe Him to be Son of God, and they also, some of them believe that He is Himself God incarnated. So these are different forms of shirk fi zat. Now, let me make a point here, and that's very important. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. Thank God, once, twice, thrice, that this ummah has been saved up till now from this form of shirk. Although in poetry you find such things. In the poetry praising the Prophet, which we call Naat, the poets have said such things. Let me quote here a couplet. وہی جو مستویِ عرش تھا خدا ہو کر اتر پڑا وہ مدینے میں مصطفیٰ ہو کر. What is it? The same person who was on the arsh, he was God when he was on arsh. وہی جو مستویِ عرش تھا اِنَّ اللَّهَ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وہی جو مستویِ عرش تھا خدا ہو کر اتر پڑا وہ مدینے میں مصطفیٰ ہو کر. He came down in Medina and he became Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. So what's the difference between incarnation and this shirk, this couplet? But this is, you know, the poet is saying it. Please let me mention here, such type of aqidah or views or dogmas don't occur anywhere in the acknowledged sects, any of the acknowledged sects of Islam, of Muslims, in their official form. Poetry is something else, you know. وَالشُعَرَىٰ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَابُونَ أَلَمْ تَرَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادِي يَهِيمُونَ. So actually, these poets, they are a different category altogether. Don't go after them. But you know, the official version of the aqaid, of the acknowledged sects of Islam, They are absolutely free from this form of shirk. And now to appreciate, you know, how big the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on this ummah regarding this issue. Why it is? That should have to be clear. This is the last ummah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah. If such a wrong thing had creeped in the official aqaid of the Muslimin, who was to come there now to rectify these things? None. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protected this deen, because this is the final deen. As the Prophet said, أَنَا آخِرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنْتُمْ آخِرُ الْأُمَمِ. I am the last of the messengers and you are the last of the ummahs. You are the last ummah. So actually, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this type of zalala, this type of, you know, wrong ideas, wrong aqaid have not entered the field of Islam. Now please compare Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do the Christians love Hazrat Masih more than the Muslims love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? They love. A Muslim might not be a practicing Muslim, but the deep love he has ingrained in his nature, in his heart, he might not be a practicing Muslim, but he has profound love for Muhammad. You know, not 1/100th of that love you can find in any Christian for Jesus. Then how come they declared Jesus to be Son of Allah and none among the Muslims have till this date declared Muhammad to be Son of Allah? But this contrast will be more clear. Now you compare Hazrat Ali to Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. What is his position? He's an ummati, a follower, a disciple. He is the master, the teacher, the prophet, the messenger. There can be no ratio proportion. But you know, there have been people and there are people today who say that Ali is God. There have been people, the Nusairis. They say, Ali is God. Is God incarnate? And in so early days, during the caliphate of Hazrat Osman radiallahu ta'ala, people appeared who stood. And they gave their lives on it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala punished them. Some of them, he burnt them alive. But they said, no, you are God. We claim you are God. You are only testing us. They gave their lives on this dogma. But nobody has said ever that Muhammad is God. Just have this, you know, the difference, how great it is. Now let me point to another thing. You will find among the illiterate people, both Sunnis and Shias, both, calling, Ya Ali Madad. They want help from Ali. Have you ever heard, Ya Muhammad Madad? Just imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody says. So this is something very great, a very big blessing on this deen, on this ummah. And what was the mechanism? How Allah did it? How Allah saved this ummah from this type of shirk? First of all, He made it clear many times in the Quran that Muhammad is a human being. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَٰهُكُمْ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Proclaim, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am nothing but a human being. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. إِنَّمَا is kalimatul hasr. I explain what is meant in Arabic by kalimatul hasr. I am only a human being. I am a bashar. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Just like you. I'm a human being, just like you. I was also born of human parents. I also feel hunger. The Prophet had also to, you know, to tie a stone to his belly. The two stones. During the battle of Azad, to be able to sustain, you know, the hunger contractions, stomach contracted due to hunger, he had to wait. Even when he was told, blood oozed out of his wounds. When he was injured in the face, blood gushed out like anything from his face. And he also was, for some time, he was unconscious. Quran makes all these things very clear, very clear. And at many points, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes him. Why have you done Muhammad like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّا عَنْ جَاهُ الْعَمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَذَّكَّى وَيَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعُ الذِّكْرَى أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَّى. I'm not going to translate, I don't have time. I'm only referring. Admonishing coming to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the same thing happened. Then you know, in the battle of Uhud, when he was injured, the Prophet said, كَفَ يَعْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا خَضَبُوا وَجْهَ نَبِيِّهِمْ بِالدَّمْ. How can Allah, how will Allah guide those people to the right path who colored the face of their Prophet with blood? And the admonition came, you know, in Surah Al-A'raf, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't have any authority in your hand. إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ. It's in other authority. Maybe we punish them. Maybe we forgive them. You can't say this. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَاكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Oh Muhammad, it's not in your hand, your capacity, your authority to guide anybody to the right path. It's the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only He guides. Had He the power or authority to guide anybody to the right path, at least Abu Talib couldn't have gone from this world without having iman and without reciting the kalma of shahada. These things, you know, have been so repeatedly, so clearly mentioned in the Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saved. Nobody said that he is son of Allah. Nobody said he is Allah incarnate. It's the biggest blessing, the biggest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this ummah, on this deen. And secondly, Muhammad himself, over and above that, you know, whatever I have said from the Quran, over and above that, the Prophet himself, he was so cautious. He didn't like the Sahaba, the companions, to stand, you know, when he came, honoring him or respecting him, don't stand. And he didn't have any special position when he was sitting, just like other Muslims. He didn't have any special rug under him, or somebody, you know, having some fan in his hand. Nothing. He was just like a human being, just like another Sahaba. And at times it became difficult for a visitor, newcomer, to identify who is Muhammad in this congregation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept himself at that level. And let me quote a hadith here, and that would be the end of this session. Once a sahabi said, there was something going on. MashaAllah wa mashaita. Let it be as Allah wants and you want. MashaAllah wa mashaita. As Allah wishes and as you wish. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him there and then. Ajaltani lillahi nidda. Have you made me equal to Allah? Only the Mashiach of Allah works. Fa'alul lima yasha. He is the only person who can do whatever he wants, who can do whatever he wishes. Not me. Don't associate myself with Allah. Don't make me equal to Allah. Don't make me partner to Allah. أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدَّا. So that was, you know, these were the steps taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and by Prophet himself, which, you know, has saved this ummah from this worst form of shirk, that is the shirk fis zat. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.
Dear brothers and sisters, please note our contact for audio and video speeches of Dr. Sar Ahmed. Maktaba Khuddamul Quran, Quran Academy, 36K Model Town, Lahore, Pakistan. Phone 9242-586-9501, 586-9502 and 586-9503. Our fax is 583-4000. You can send your emails on info@tanzeem.org. May Allah bless us with the understanding of Islam and give us the courage to act upon it. Ameen.